Leaders from 19 countries and the European Union have kicked off the Group of 20 meeting in the Japanese city of Osaka. Several issues, including the U.S.-China trade war, tensions in the Middle East, as well as climate change, are high on the agenda. Chinese President Xi Jinping was among the first participants to address the summit. He warned against protectionism and called for cooperation among countries.
We need to encourage the movement of information, technology, and human resources to safeguard the global industry change, sharing our strengths and cooperating to achieve a win-win situation. We should not develop behind a closed door, and we cannot interfere in the market. We also need to respect the sovereign rights of each nation.
The Russian and Indian leaders also slammed the protectionist policies. Russian President Vladimir Putin warned of politically motivated restrictions. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi said that the development of global economy is largely driven by one-sided decisions. They made the comments at a meeting with the Chinese Xi President on the sidelines of the G20 summit. The annual summit brings together the leaders from the largest and fastest-growing economies. The group members account for 85% of the world's gross domestic product, and they also make up two-thirds of the world's population. Now, Edward Corrigan, international lawyer, is joining us right now to discuss the G20 summit further. Mr. Corrigan, now this much anticipated summit is currently underway. We were expecting to see a meeting between the U.S. President Donald Trump and Xi Jinping that would probably end the trade war. How likely do you see that from happening?
Well, it's my view, it's difficult to assess it. Mr. Pompeo, the Secretary of State, said that they're about 90% close to making a full deal. However, based upon the bluster and the threats from Trump, I think we can rely upon that because China says it's not going to be intimidated. They have either the second or the largest economy in the world and fastest growing economy, and they're going to certainly surpass the American economy if they haven't already done so. And when you have Russia, China, and India all taking a position against Trump's sort of one-sided, trade wars that he's initiating with, over a dozen countries, I figure it's hard to keep track of them. He's obviously, Venezuela, Iran, but even Turkey, and he's had, serious disputes with the Europeans, countries as well, the European Union. And he's, they've attacked Jeremy Corbyn and said they were going to do everything in their power to prevent him from getting elected to the premiership in England, which is, of course, blatantly illegal and, of course, a massive intervention into the British economy. And, of course, the Americans are complaining if anybody else would intervene in their economy. This whole issue about this Russian collusion and stuff is all tied in with that. But, Trump didn't even prepare for his summit with Vladimir Putin. And it's a question is how much is he prepared for this and how much he's going to rely upon his expert staff and even the people who are there. A lot of them are not experts in area, and he doesn't listen to the experts and he doesn't really read the reports. If he thinks that he believes that he must be correct and there's no basis for it, even though the recent report said that Trump has already made more than 5,000 lies in his little over 2 years of presidency. But he thinks something, it must be true. And he doesn't care, if he's saying that, the head of the FBI doesn't know what he's talking about when he's talking about the rule of law and collusion, yet then Trump goes and blatantly says he would collude with another country if they had dirt on some of his opposition, which of course is illegal. So how it's gonna go in Osaka is a very good question. They're threatening China, but a lot of the manufacturers are now moving their production facilities to places like Vietnam and probably Bangladesh and even India, where the labor costs are low, but you have India squaring off against the United States as well, and the Americans are trying to bring India into a coalition to help maintain the open flow of oil in the Persian Gulf. And, you know, but you still have the economic tension. So I'm not sure where India is going to go. And of course, one of the things that most people don't realize is that the Shanghai Agreement or Shanghai Accord, where you've got Russia, China, India, and all the other countries in Central Asia coming together for a economic and political and military alliance, and it's a defensive alliance against the United States, because they were, you know, saying they're going to go in and take over the last place on the planet that hasn't been, you know, sort of stripped of its resources, which is Central Asia. And, you know, this Shanghai Accord is a very, very powerful and important international organization, yet there's almost no mention of it, that it's sort of a defensive political and military alliance against the United States. And the United States, I think, has been effectively shut out of Central Asia, which is another, they're looking at, you know, Venezuela and other places to try to get back into the resource exploitation game for the benefit of the United States and multinational corporations, and not looking for the interests of the people. But in my view, the tariff war is partially correct that Trump is saying, but you erect walls and you make goods produced outside the country more expensive, which provides some protection for industries in the United States. So they would perhaps bring back some industries, but you still have, instead of going to China, they're going to go to Bangladesh or Vietnam. And actually Trump said that Vietnam treats the United States worse than China does. I'm not sure what the basis of that is, but there's, you know, tension there. But if you set up these tariff barriers, it will provide some protection. But the entire American economy for maybe 20, 30 years has basically been farming out production to third world sites that are much cheaper, and then getting rid of jobs. So the only sector that seems to be thriving in the United States is the military industrial complex and building of weapons and high technology. But everything else has basically been shipped overseas. The companies still may own it, the American companies, American multinationals, but the people who are actually doing the work and getting paid for the wages, and very low wages usually, are of course these people in these third world countries and places like China. So there's a very, you know, a lot of problems, and in my view, Trump's position and how he interacts with other countries, including, you know, close allies, he's always threatening them and, you know, trying to intimidate them, and, you know, with blusters. It's more of like a con man's approach without having any sort of substance or thought out strategy. And he doesn't seem to be prepared to, you know, work in a way that is compromised and in a diplomatic way to work out some sort of agreement that would work for the benefit of both parties.
Thank you.
He also seems to want to stamp everything with his name on it, and nothing exists before him, and maybe who knows what's going to exist after Trump.
Thank you very much, Mr. Edward Corrigan, international lawyer, elaborating on the G20 summit and what might come out of